You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers released their first unofficial depth chart.
Devontae Adams and the Packers appear to be far away from an extension.
Ty Dunn and Aaron Rodgers call each other liars.
And the last dance, high expectations, and a lot of unknown.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. Here we are in our 12th season of Packers Talk as we prepare for the Packers' first game of the 2021 NFL season. As is normally the case, your hosts tonight are the always late Kelly Hodson, known as That Packers Girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the patient C. D'Angeli, Tundra Vision on Twitter. And lastly, little old me, the indefatigable, I can't say that word, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, found at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That's it for the perfunctory introductions. Let's get this show on the road.
The Playbook.
All right, guys, we have waited a long time for this. It's been a preseason that I think, as we talked about last week, has been an interesting little sideshow of the JV squads playing. But now it is NFL football with the Green Bay Packers.
In a world far removed from preseason.
And it truly is the most wonderful time of the year.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got 4 quarters of Packers football. We'll see how many wins and losses we get out of it here. But we're going to start out kicking it off right away with our first quarter. The Green Bay Packers released their first unofficial depth chart. Now, it's unofficial. I don't know what makes it more official.
Officially
than unofficial. Yeah. So, I mean, it's there. But kind of looking down, not a lot of surprises. I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is right now the first-string quarterback with Jordan Love just behind him, but a couple of positions of interest that I think that are worth noting. Did you guys notice anything in there?
I did.
Talk to me.
Okay. How do you like the fact that they split out tight ends twice into two sections?
That was interesting.
You have blocking tight ends and you have receiving tight ends.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know that Daphne is a receiving tight end. I don't think that's split out like that.
I don't know.
If you were going to do that, then I would say that Tanyan and DeGuara should be in one category.
Yeah.
And Lewis and Daphne should be in the other category. So I don't think that's what they're thinking.
So what are they thinking? Because it's obvious.
I don't know.
Obvious, Lewis and Tanyan, they make sense as the top
as your
two.
Starters, right? Okay, you're going to call them your starters.
Your starters. The other two guys.
But then wouldn't Daphne be considered the backup for Lewis?
You would think.
And DeGuara for Tanyan, you would also think. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe this is why it's unofficial.
Okay, what really surprises me is, why is Rashawn Gary behind Preston Smith?
Because they're only listing two outside linebackers.
Oh, right. So it's like,
and we know that they're going to probably have three of those guys in the game a decent amount of the time. So
yeah, okay. But then why did you break down the tight ends? It's like logical in one place, illogical in the other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing for safeties. Look at safeties.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either.
Well, I mean, I guess for that one, would you go, free safety versus in the box safety? I think you can do it in that case with Amos and Scott as your free safety and Savage and Black as your more in the box safeties. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the defense, and just for our listeners, if you can't hear it, our defense has the three defensive linemen and four linebackers, with the two outside linebackers, two inside linebackers, and the more traditional two corners and two safeties. I think you do see the free safety, strong safety, as Al mentioned, but they've just listed them as safeties with Amos and Savage in as those two.
Right.
Now, offensively, just kind of going back to what we were talking about right away with the two tight ends, growing up, what do we see? We saw five offensive linemen, right? And quarterback, fullback, halfback, two wide receivers and the tight end.
I'm having early 80s flashbacks.
Exactly. But what they've removed from this is the fullback, which maybe in the going back to 5 years ago would have been replaced with a third wide receiver, which we always see in starting lineups. They made the choice here to say we're going to have the five down linemen, quarterback, one halfback, two wide receivers, and then two tight ends. So yeah, you're right. Two wide receivers, two tight ends. Interesting in how they're setting aside these positions in this unofficial depth chart.
Right. And of course, this is just something put down on a piece of paper. What you're going to see on the field is going to vary widely from play to play. So just for us to talk about, I think.
But it is interesting that this isn't Mike Florio putting this out for us. This isn't just a bunch of BS. I mean, this is from the Packers. This is the Packers saying we're having two tight ends.
Right.
Now,
but who puts together this depth chart that goes on the website? Is it somebody in the Packers organization in the front office? Is it the coach? Is it the GM? I think it's just is it somebody in their marketing department?
Or is it just some intern that said, here, put our depth chart together. This is who our starters are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think that's a good point, though. I think don't read too much into it because depending on the scheme, you know, we may have two tight ends in a play and we may have, you know, spread offense and every single receiver is playing that set.
Yeah.
I think dynamics wise, though, you go on offense. Let's take a look here. You got the two wide receiver positions. Devontae Adams is the first string at one, but MVS is the starter at the other. Now, remember the big deal we had to have about bringing Randall Cobb here. Randall Cobb is listed as the number two behind MVS, while Alan Lazard is listed as the number two behind Devontae Adams. Where's Amari Rodgers?
He's number three.
Right behind Cobb.
Right. So Cobb is not only not the starter, he's also position as Amari.
Yeah, he's not an outside receiver, right? He's a slot receiver.
He's definitely slot, so I think that reflects it.
They're not separating out slot receivers here, right? So he ends up being put into the just standard wide receiver category, in which he is not technically a starter.
And he never really was.
Because technically he's the third wide receiver coming into the game.
And I think if you looked at the depth chart when he was at the Packers the last time, it would be very similar. He would be...
That I think so, yeah. I think that would be the case.
With the assumption...
I think... My back?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. But I think the way he's listed, it makes sense. It's noting that he is our slot receiver. And that's something I think we've lacked since he left. It's like we had people try to fill in, they were okay. But now we have someone that's their wheelhouse. And it makes sense where he's listed.
I'm fine with it.
But it is interesting then that they list the two tight ends and Mercedes Lewis is the other tight end with Tunyon. So I don't know, just it's interesting. It's good for conversation, I think, like you said, Al. But yeah, I mean, just the way they divvied up those positions on offense, there's some intention there. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out on the field on Sunday.
Can't wait.
I think it's vague enough that you can't read anything into it, which is kind of delightful too.
Oh. We can read into anything. By the way, starting punter is? I'm just trying to see if you pronounce the
Bajorquez.
Perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been practicing. No, good. Not really, but I just know how to pronounce it. I couldn't remember his last name, though. His first name, sorry. I couldn't remember his first name.
You practiced his last name so much, you got that figured
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I have no idea what his first name was.
I'm full
Bajorquez guy.
I'm fully confident with his punting abilities. Where I'm worried is, has he had enough time to develop chemistry for holding for Crosby? Because that's kind of an important position.
I'm sure that they've spent a lot of time every day on it, but we'll see.
Ryan Longwell used to get real persnickety about that. Remember that? Mm-hmm. How upset he would get when Matt Hasselbeck got traded, and he'd be like, oh, man, they're breaking up the best field goal kicking combo team ever. I'm like, dude.
Too bad he was so bad at punting, though.
Dude. Anyway, yes. Just noting, Amari Rodgers is listed as first string on punt returns. Kylan Hill, first string as kick returner.
Pretty much what we saw in preseason.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's no.
All right. That'll take us to the end of the first quarter. Unofficial depth chart, guys. Win or loss?
Officially a win.
Officially a win, yeah. What am I going to do? Say, no, I hate the depth charts?
Right? How could you?
No, I could have come up with something so
if
much better.
If you were a Vikings fan, you could say that.
Yeah.
Sure. So, second quarter, Devontae is making a little. Now, this is the time of year, guys, where this happens. You know, we get to the start of this. People start stressing, you know, just a little bit about stuff going on. You know, we always freak out. Oh, my gosh, are they going to resign this guy? What's going on? What's happening? It sounds like it's happening maybe a little bit with Devontae Adams, but let's be honest here. We're a little nervous about whether Devontae is going to get re-signed this year. It seems to me with this whole Last Dance thing, Adams appears to be the one posting the Last Dance picture along with Aaron Rodgers on Instagram a couple months ago. Right now, Devontae Adams asked if there's any chance of him signing a new contract before the season opener. No, no chance. No.
Well, not shocking.
This gamemanship happens with everybody. You play no, you gin up interest in yourself, and your market value goes up. This is not the first time our front office has been through this whole song and dance. Yeah, if he's going to sign, it's going to be about around game 5 or 6. And he wants us to know how the season goes. If suddenly they're on a rocket to the top of the NFL, yeah, he's going to hold out for the maximum value. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fairly upfront about it, you know, more so than a lot of players have been in the past, that there's going to be no Green Bay hometown discount here. He wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And I think that's just more than the Packers are willing to do.
But at the same time, I think he's worth it because he is the best receiver in the league.
He is, but, you know, how many players can you pay that much money, you know? And you're going to have other players. You're gonna have Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith. And, you know, if Rodgers is really leaving, do you want to pay all that money for a wide receiver? I don't know.
Those are Devontae Adams make Jordan Love look really good, don't you think?
Yeah.
So the high watermark, according to at least Matt Schneiderman and Rap Sheet, is that DeAndre Hopkins is the deal that is being eyeballed. He's making $5.25 million more than any other wide receiver. Adams wants to be the highest paid wide receiver, which is funny because 2 years ago we were trying to say how he's the best wide receiver in the league and trying to make that case. Now he is probably the best wide receiver in the league and wants to be paid like it, and it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So say it, CD. Just say it. Get it out of the way right now. Rip the bandaid off.
I'm not going to say it.
It's not really applicable here.
We're not talking about
that so much.
Yeah.
But, would he want to play if Rodgers leaves? Would he want to go elsewhere and hitch his like if Rodgers?
That's kind of my point that I was trying to get out there.
If he retires, he's going to want to hitch his wagon to another rising star. And I don't think he is signaling that's Jordan Love.
Hitch his wagon.
As the NFL was counting down their top 100 players, I was watching because I think Devontae came in, what was he, number 6 overall?
He was six.
Yeah, and the highlight reel they put together of his catches was just unreal. I mean, and maybe even watching that, I guess I just even had a newfound appreciation of really what Devontae Adams is. I mean, he's really superhuman. And most of you guys know I've had an affinity for Sterling Sharp. I mean, he's my favorite wide receiver, if not my favorite Packer of all time. But I'm looking at Devontae Adams. I said, this guy is special. I mean, like, generational when it comes to some of his talent and ability on the field. But you're right. We can't keep paying everybody, but we're sure fortunate to have him right now. And if this is going to be a Last Dance season, I'm glad we have him. But this might be the last year you're wearing your number 17 jersey.
So here's a question. So if we lose Rodgers, and I think if we win the Super Bowl, I think he retires. I don't think he goes to another team. Because he's too happy being the Zen master. But when you have Love, who's not quite ready for prime time, do you start building around a star receiver instead of a star quarterback? Would you build a team around somebody like Devontae Adams and suddenly he become indispensable?
Not at that price.
He's expensive.
Mm-hmm. And
you just take up too much of the roster.
Yeah, and as much as I love Devontae Adams, God, I love Jair Alexander. And
yes,
you know, a shutdown corner. I don't know, guys. Is that more valuable than a superstar wide receiver?
I think it's got longer staying power.
I mean, those shutdown corners just they seem to be, I don't know.
They're much rarer than wide receivers, yes. Really good wide receivers.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I was. Yeah,
totally. I knew what you were looking for.
Yes.
But they all seem to go crazy at some point in their life.
Yeah, Jair seems to have it together, though. You know, I think the Packers picked one that isn't a total nutcase.
I would agree.
And he really has become a leader on the field for the defensive side, which right. is something that was lacking for a while. There was this void, and he's really stepped up into a position. I'm really, really pleased with his development, his maturity.
Yeah, you hear how his teammates speak about him, you know, and important teammates like Rodgers and Z, and, you know, they speak very highly of him in the locker room, on the field, you know, all-around person. So I think that, you know, that counts for a lot.
Well, I think that'll bring us to the end of the second quarter. And losing Devontae Adams, I think we got to count that as a loss, don't you?
Yeah, well, I don't think we can fudge that one.
No, we can't even say it's a tie.
No.
So we will just appreciate everything he does this season and
just enjoy it more. Right.
Absolutely. And on the other side of halftime, this is where we'd normally put a commercial if we had one. I don't know if we're going to end up having one this year, Al.
Not currently.
All right, so we're moving on right away. There was a very fast halftime. We're going to go right into the third. Interesting breakdown of a little public battle between Mr. Ty Dunn and Mr. Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to let Kelly kind of tell the story here.
Oh, boy. So back in 2019, Ty Dunn, who is now a writer with his own Go Long newsletter, he has worked for various newspapers, and now he's striking out on his own, wrote a lengthy dissertation where it all went south with Rodgers and Mike McCarthy back in Green Bay. In the piece, he included this absolute bomb, kaboom, that Packers president Mark Murphy called Rodgers and told him, "Don't be the problem," when the franchise hired Matt LaFleur as head coach.
Yes.
So Rodgers doesn't ever let anything go. Even though he says he's a calmer, gentler, more zen, whatever. Dunn poked a bear. So apparently this week on his Tuesday spot on the Pat McAfee show, Rodgers addressed the conversation with Murphy and said, "That never effing happened."
Do you know what brought this up?
No, what did bring it up? Because I missed that.
No, I don't know. I'm asking. I haven't seen the video yet.
And then Rodgers went on to say that alleged conversation never happened. That's a total lie.
Now, my one question about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there somebody else in the room with Murphy?
That's a good question.
Like, Ty says that he has multiple sources, right? That this is what occurred. Were there other people in the room? Because it would have to be, right, to have sources.
But haven't we heard permutations of this in the past, though? Because we have.
What I'm going to try to get to here is this might be one of those, you know, those like myths or legends that kind of just grow over time, you know, and that it's possible that it never happened. But, you know, there were conversations similar to it and then maybe it got embellished. And I don't know. That's just one possibility.
But of course,
for there to be sources, there has to be somebody else in the room in on that conversation.
Yeah, or heard about it secondhand, which then again, the truth gets diluted. But Don isn't backing down. His quote was, "I wasn't surprised by the comment at all. It's par for the course." He said the same thing 3 years ago. "I obviously stand 100% by my dozens of sources." Dozens of sources.
Right, well, that's the reason why I'm questioning this. Like,
but, you know,
how can you have dozens of sources about, and I love Ty,
yeah.
Okay? Full disclosure, I subscribe to his thing. I like his writing. I've met him in person, had beers with him. I like the guy. But how can you have dozens of sources about a conversation between two people?
Because if you're going to get called into the principal's office on this nature, I don't think it's going to be in front of the whole board of directors or all the coaching staff. It's going to be one-on-one, don't F this up, Aaron.
I'm not sure.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Yeah,
if you're gonna get reprimanded, it's not gonna be in front of an audience.
Who's gonna get reprimanded? I'm not.
Rodgers. If Rodgers is getting called saying "Don't be the problem," and there's a telephone call, exactly. Where were the dozens of people?
Oh, so you're agreeing? It sounded like you were disagreeing somehow.
It just doesn't make sense, because if I'm going to call somebody and like, hey, don't be a problem, or I'm going to call them to my office and say, you know, I got an issue with you, it's not going to be with a big giant audience. So if you have sources, is it on the Rogers camp going, yeah, he got talked to because he told his friends who told their friends who now are telling Ty Dunn? Because I have a funny feeling Ty can get stuff out of players. Does he have as many front office that will little birds that will sing or not?
Well, as I try to follow your train of thought, I'm just going to interject with this bit. Rogers is arguing the fact that Murphy told him, don't be the problem. Right.
He's saying
so. Right. And in some ways, it's kind of weird that, you know, he's saying, no, he never called and told me that. Don't be the problem. Whereas you think it would be Mark Murphy saying, no, I never said that to Aaron Rodgers. So there's just this weird dynamic going on already with that. Can I visualize? Now, mind you, I don't know Mark Murphy that well. I just have my own little opinions on him based on some of the weird stuff that went around with Mike McCarthy and hiring a Gutekunst and some of the restructuring of how the administrative front office was going to operate. But can I imagine Mark Murphy sitting in a room with several of the uppity ups and saying, you know what, I'm going to call Aaron right now. Don't be the problem. There, see, I did it. Can I see it happening? Sure. Does that mean it did? No. But once again, Ty Dunn standing by it. Rogers just saying, that never happened.
Ty doesn't seem as inflammatory as Adam Schefter was trying to dig up this, well, Rogers is never coming back, blah, blah. He doesn't seem like that type of writer. So who knows? I don't know if we'll ever know the truth.
I never thought I'd hear Jersey Al kind of throwing a little shade on Ty Dunn. So a little shade.
I wasn't throwing shade on Ty Dunn. I was just wondering how can you meet dozens of sources about an alleged phone conversation? That's the part I don't understand.
Right.
I'd love to have an explanation from about that.
You know, it makes it sound like the Packers locker room is like a middle school girls locker room. It's like, I'm going to tell you a secret, but I don't want you to share it with anybody. And that person goes and tells three people, each one tells three people, and suddenly the whole team knows.
Right.
Which could totally have happened as well.
Absolutely. That would be one plausible explanation for the dozens of sources. Right?
That would be your dozens of sources. And it gets more salacious every time. You know, by the time it's like, hey, Aaron, let's make it. The conversation could have started out with, hey, Aaron, let's make it a smooth transition to, you know, the new coach. Let's give him a chance. Totally can believe that happening. By the time it gets to the fifth generation of who's heard the story, it's like, Aaron, don't kill him. Don't put the knife away. You know, it's going to just get, it's a dying case of telephone.
Okay.
So is gossip a win?
I think it's a tie. It's
entertaining.
It's a no contest.
We're just going to kind of watch it and go, let's get the popcorn and see how it goes. We're never going to get the answer, obviously. I mean,
that's why it has to be a tie.
Exactly. It's going to be like a 20 for 20 or something. And it's going to be, what really happened?
Is that a new show? 20 for 20?
Yeah. It's a shorter version of 30 for 30.
Yeah. Okay. They've cut it back a little.
Yeah.
A little
bit. Is it even worth 30? No.
All right. So we are 1-1-1. One win, one loss. Hi. And we're going to move into our fourth quarter topic. Ooh, this will be the fun one. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go play the New Orleans Saints in Jacksonville on Sunday. It is game one of what we are predicting to be Super Bowl or die, championship or disappointment, as we talked about last week. It's game one. And some of the players are talking very much Jordan and Scottie Pippen-like, aren't they?
Yeah.
No one is going to jump in, so I'll just kind of keep going.
Crickets.
Not sure where you're going with that. So
Aaron Rodgers, kind of let one little quote slip, and it's obviously probably referring to himself, referring to, I guess, the uncertainty of the season and what's going to happen at the end. He says, yes, there's a lot of unknowns, probably referring to contract, Devontae Adams, the whole idea that this whole offense may be, split apart at the end. But as they're talking, we're hearing some of the words coming out that, this isn't just we're going to try real hard and have a great season. This is we're a talented team. We know what the expectations are. And we're focusing on accountability and holding each other accountable. Is this not what I said last week, guys? At the end of the show last week, I said, win or lose, Are they going to sit back and shrug their shoulders when Kevin King keeps screwing up time after time? Or are they going to hold each other accountable? And this is Aaron Rodgers coming out and saying, this is it. You know, Super Bowl or die, we're going to hold each other accountable. So you're starting to hear this feeling of where those expectations are. We didn't get to see the starters in the regular season. We're going to see them on Sunday, and we're going to see what kind of focus they have.
And that really reminds me of 2010, where the tone was definitely set early on, and you were having players-only meetings, and they were really focused on rising and falling as one. And you're only as strong as your weakest link. I'm going to hit a whole bunch of cliches here, but there was a lot of accountability that season. And then they would rally behind next man up. You know, you ended up with a Carton. Was it a car salesman or something that was playing linebacker at the end? But it's starting the tone, the conversation is starting to feel like 2010.
So Devontae Adams chimes in and says, this is the hungriest team I've ever been around, honestly, because we've been so close a number of times now. They know how reachable it is and realistic we are getting to that final step. That's big. The final step. This is the year they're going to get past that NFC Championship game. That is the goal. So, you know, as you're hearing all of this and hearing this accountability and focus that's going on, how do you guys feel if they end up losing this game on Sunday? Is this a cause for panic? Or is this just like, it's just one step on the way. It all matters how they finish.
How many of the first four games did they lose in 2010? Because I know everyone was like losing their minds. Was it like two of four, three or four? They lost all. You know, it was everyone in a panic mode when they lost a couple games early in that year. I knew I did when they lost that season to the Bears on the road. Went to bed mad. Like, God, this season's over. I don't think that we need to panic this year. If we lose a game, we know they are going to lose a game. They're going to lose a game within the first four. Big whoop. It's what you do with that loss, how you respond to it, how do you adjust your errors, and do you leave the bad feeling of that loss behind, or do you look forward to the next win? That's one thing I like. I don't like Bill Belichick, but his I'm on to the next game attitude is kind of refreshing for that you learn from your errors, but then you don't dwell on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd be super upset if they manage to lose this game, which I don't think they will at all. But, you know, on the other hand, I do think that they're going to come out because of the fact of the focus that they have. And they haven't really been able to show it on the field, having to watch all the preseason games from the sidelines. I think just gut feel, they're going to come out on fire. I think they are going to come out on fire and win this game handily. But if they lose, you know, it's one game out of 17 now, right? So we can just pretend that game didn't matter and we still have a 16-game season, right? So there's different ways you can look at it.
Well, my favorite way to look at it
is
are they holding each other accountable?
There you go again with that accountable.
I have no problem. If we play a fiercely fought game and we just get beat by the better team on the field that day, or, you know, get a couple bad bounces or a ref call here or there, we lose the game, fine. But if this is a situation where Kevin King is screwing up and everyone just shrugs their shoulders and says, oh, well, you know, MBS makes his usual stupid mistake that costs us a possession or a touchdown, or I guess worst of all, if Aaron Rodgers starts audibling out of every play, going back and waiting for Devontae Adams to get open instead of running Matt LaFleur's offense, and we lose, then I'm concerned because the team is not having the focus or the self-accountability that they're going to need to get through that last game of the playoffs.
All about accountability for you.
It is.
It is.
But let me talk about a couple
of things. You're on the accountability train.
But let's switch gears and talk about playing in Florida. Hurricane Larry is aimed right at the stadium. It's like you move from a hurricane to impossible other hurricane. And I love the pettiness of New Orleans. It's like if we were hosting it and we couldn't have it in Green Bay, it's like, let's put it in Duluth, Minnesota. So you have to like take three flight connections to get there to make it as hard and as expensive as possible for Packer fans to get there. I heard somebody actually looked at the flights from Wisconsin. What would be the most expensive connection, and they picked, that was one of the factors that went into why they picked Jacksonville.
Not a great choice.
But I kind of love the gamesmanship and the pettiness of it. It's like, we're going to make it as hard as possible for Packers fans to go. At the same time, it's like, oh, joke's on you. We are really good on the road. We'll find a way to get there.
Well, as we finish up this fourth quarter, I think this is going to be a win. So I think we'll call it a win, 2-1-1 on the day. And we're going to finish up with our game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packer Game Predictions.
Packers playing I think it's a 3:15 game in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Technically an away game, now very much away because it's not even on the home turf of the Saints. How do you see this game turning out in game one of the 2021 season? Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Well, as I kind of hinted just a little while ago, I think they're going to come out on fire. They're going to explode with emotion and built up frustration and not having been able to play in the preseason. And I think they are going to take it to the Saints. Packers 38, Saints 24.
All right. I'm going to be a little less optimistic. I think the Packers are going to win 26-18. Sizable. It's going to be within a score. I think there is going to be that feeling that we're going to have amongst Packer fans is that they didn't win hard enough because it's a first game and there'll be a couple mistakes here and there. But I do think the Packers come away with a win.
I'm going to split the difference. I agree. I think it's going to be a little rust that's going to need to get knocked off, but nothing that's insurmountable. I suspect people will complain, regardless of how much they win, that they didn't win by enough. But there are no style points in football, so I'm okay with that. Packers 31, Saints 24. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 12th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be found on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcatching app. If you liked what you heard, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. The season's about to start. Oh my God, get excited. That's a wrap, boys. Woo-hoo. Go Pack Go.
All right.
Go Pack Go.
See you next week. 1-0, baby.
You got it.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Ciao.
Last
week, did you screw something up again? Or?
No. Last week, like, we didn't have any points in time where we had to go, stop. CD will just edit this out later. Hey, let's talk about wine for 5 minutes. Okay,
whose voice are you
doing? So it was really nice to just say, hey, I'm just going to take this block of stuff and just
cut the time.
Filter on it, and I didn't have to be up until 11 o'clock. It was really nice.
That is nice.
I'm glad we could do that for you.
Once you get cruising, let's just kind of keep going, and, you know, let's not do the, CD, You got nothing better to do tonight besides edit out my editorial comments about things.
Oh my God. You know what? After my shitty week, you guys are making me smile. So this is thank you.